Let's open our Bibles together this morning in the book of Genesis, and we commence reading in the 40th chapter. That's Genesis chapter 40. We follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy and God's infallible word. Genesis chapter 40, and we'll commence to read at the verse number 1. We are singing this morning, "Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let him lead me where he will. I will go without a murmur, and his footsteps follow still." It's easy to sing that. It's different to walk it. Now we're going to read a passage of God's word where a person's walking it in Genesis chapter 40. "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. In the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the cluster thereof broke forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. Thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner which thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away by the hand of out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing, that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Came to pass at the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among the servants. He restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. He gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." We end our reading there, and God will bless his word to our hearts. Just let's ask the Lord to do that in Jesus' name. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou will once again unfold this passage before us. Help us, our God, to understand what's happening here in the life of Joseph. Father, I pray that thou will help us to understand what's happening in our own lives. And we pray that we might get guidance even through this passage of thy precious word. We thank thee that thy word is a practical word. It's not only for knowledge for our head and doctrine for our minds, but, oh God, we realize that thy word is to be practiced in our lives. And I pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt take the practical truth here and help us to be better Christians and those that love Jesus, that we might love you more and serve you more. And, oh God, do what you want us to do. Lord, bless thy word to our hearts. And for any today that are not saved, oh God, I pray that thou will lift them out of the dungeon and the pit of their sin and set them gloriously free. Give them a mighty deliverance today. For he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, when we last visited Joseph in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis, we found that Joseph was hastening out of the presence of Potiphar's wife, running away from temptation, fleeing fornication or fleshly lusts. And I believe that Joseph did so because he viewed every event in his life with God in the picture. We remember he said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Chapter 39, verse 9. And God was in all of the picture concerning this man, Joseph. Now, as a slave, he was to obey. But of course, not only was he a slave, he was one who was dedicated to serving God. And therefore, he knew what he ought to do. Our brother read the scriptures in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We find that the children of God were commanded not to speak in that name of Jesus anymore. And of course, whenever they did that and they stood before these men as they would, or this council as they told them to not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore, then they posed a question. In chapter 4 of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, they simply said this. Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whither is it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye?" And it was right to obey God rather than men. You know, I believe that Joseph's life, it could be summed up as in his journey, the words that Saul of Tarsus, after he got saved, asked on that Damascus road. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And then he did it. And when he knew the mind of God and the will of God, and I believe in Joseph's life, there were times he couldn't see it clearly, but when he couldn't see it clearly, he trusted God. He went on. He didn't stop. He went on serving the Lord, and then God would reveal his will. Now, by doing what was right, we find Joseph was taken and thrown into prison. I was reading this week, there's the motto of the Stony Brook School in Long Island. And the motto of that school is this: character before career. I think that's a good thing. Character before career. But here we find that this young man, his character is being built here by the Lord. And whilst he's in prison, the Word of God tells us that the Lord was with Joseph. In other words, he was conscious of the presence of the Lord. I wonder, as you waking up in the morning, and is your first thought that you are in the presence of the Lord? Are you conscious whenever you wake up in the morning that the Lord is with you? Conscious of the presence of the Lord. When you go to your workplace, and as you're doing your work and doing your work, are you doing it unto the Lord? Because you're conscious that the Lord is with you. If you go out into the farm, are you conscious of the presence of the Lord? As you rear and raise the children, are you conscious of the presence of the Lord? I believe that that was the thing that carried this man through even the most difficult days. He was conscious of the presence of the Lord. And so Joseph sensed the presence of the Lord. He sensed it in Potiphar's house, but he also sensed it in prison. And the Word of God says in chapter 39:21, "The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." In other words, the Lord was looking after his child even though he was in a prison cell or in a dungeon, because that's what it was. It was a dungeon. Now, my friends, let me tell you, it's not an easy road here. The world, you know, has this idea that if God really loves his children, then God will always allow his children to succeed. There'll never be any setbacks. There'll never be sickness or any of these things. And that's how the world would say, well, listen, if the Lord really loves you, then that's exactly how life will be. I read A.W. Tozer this week, a Bible expositor, and he said this: it's doubtful God can use any man greatly until he hurts him deeply. You know, I thought about that statement because let me tell you, my friend, that was true in the life of Joseph. Joseph was hurt deeply. But I want to tell you, Joseph was used greatly. He was hurt deeply in his circumstances, but he was used greatly. And when you walk in obedience to the Lord, and if you're faithful to him, friend, that does not mean that life will be free from trouble. Indeed, when you read chapter 40, you'll find that Joseph is still in prison, but he is serving the Lord. He is continuing to serve the Lord under very difficult circumstances. Now listen to me. Joseph was not in prison for a week. Joseph was not in that prison for 2 weeks or 2 months. You say, how long was Joseph in the circumstances where he was hurting? The Bible tells us it was at least 2 years that Joseph was there. Now you say, where do you find that? In verse 1 of chapter 41. It says this: it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. Joseph is still in prison at this time. And so therefore 2 full years have passed and Joseph is still in confinement. But I want to tell you, prison, thank God, didn't break God's servant. And your circumstances, no matter how difficult your circumstances may be, my friend, when you're a child of God, those circumstances are not in your life to break you. As far as break you personally, it is to break you spiritually, to bring you into a total dependence upon the Lord that will take away self-will and self-dependence. But you're thrown completely onto the Lord. And so we find that what God was doing in these 2 years, at least 2 years, we find that Joseph's character was being built and God's approval, listen, God's approval was being confirmed. God's approval in the midst of suffering. God was confirming, Joseph, you are my child. And God was going to bring him through. You know, I think of other men who are thrown into prison, and yet we find that in the midst of it, God blessed them. It didn't break them, it strengthened them. And what the days of adversity were doing, friend, was God was molding them. And you say, brother, let me tell you, if you knew what I'm going through, you wouldn't say that you would want God to mold you that way. Surely God could find molding me in another way, in a less hurtful way. I want to tell you, my friend, as for God, his ways are perfect. And friend, there is no mistakes with God. There are appointments with God, but there are no mistakes with God in what God permits. And God gives the overarching. You've heard me say it so many times, but do not forget it, because you will be tested this week with trials and troubles. Do not forget this fact. All things work together for good to them that love God. Not some of them, but all of them. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I think of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophesied in Jerusalem at the end of the history of the southern kingdom. You know, he was a prophet during an extended period of time. And yet in all of that, his message didn't change. His message was a message from God that because of their sin, Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. The Babylonian army was going to descend upon Jerusalem. Then you can understand that this was not a welcome message. They didn't want to hear it. They wanted to hear something else. You know, it was near the end of Jeremiah's ministry that he was imprisoned. Why was he imprisoned? Because whenever he said the Babylonian army was going to come down upon Jerusalem, he was then accused that somehow he sold out to the Babylonian army.
He had turned his back upon the people of God and the people of Jerusalem. He was not doing that. He was being faithful to God. He was telling the message that God had given him. You read that story in the book of Jeremiah in the chapter 37. And friend, in Jeremiah chapter 37, you can read there. Let's just turn there for a moment, because we'll find what happened here. It says in verse number 12, Jeremiah chapter 37, Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin, to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. He took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans." He's accusing him of selling out to the Chaldeans. Then said Jeremiah, "It is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans." But he hearkened not to him. So Arijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah, smote him, put him in the prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, Jeremiah had remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" Jeremiah says, "There is. For he," said he, "thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Moreover, Jeremiah said unto the king Zedekiah, "What have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people, that ye have put me in prison?" My friend, let me tell you, here's God's child. He's delivering God's message. He's put in prison for it. But thank God, whenever Zedekiah the king brought him out, and he was asked the question, "Is there a word from God?" Jeremiah says, "Yes, there is. There is a word from God." He didn't compromise. He didn't say, "Well, I better say what the king wants me to say." No, he was faithful to God. His imprisonment did not break him. Thank God he was strengthened in the Lord. And my friend, this is important, that you and I need to get strengthened even in the days of adversity. We haven't time to go into it. You go into the life of Samson. You remember Samson? He was the 12th of the judges listed in the book of Judges. Samson had great power, but friend, let me tell you, Samson had one great weakness, and it was concerning woman. And I tell you, here's a young man, and he has great possibilities, but there's a great weakness in his life. And he lusted after the wrong woman and desired the company of Delilah. Slept on her lap. She started to ask him questions. She started to tease him. She started to put on a performance of pity. "You don't love me if you don't tell me where's your strength." Finally, Samson gave in to her. And the secret of his strength, and the Philistine soldiers fell upon him. And they put out of his eye, put out his eyes. And they took him to Gaza. And they bound him by shekels, and they set him to work at the grinding corn. Friend, let me tell you this. You read on the story, here's Samson in prison. But there's something happens to Samson in prison. The secret of his strength, he was a Nazarite. He was one who had given himself a vow to God. His parents had likewise. His hair began to grow again. Thank God, he began to renew his strength. He was brought out to the Dagon's temple. He was going to be the plaything. He asked a little boy to bring him to the pillars of the temple. And then he cried again to God, the God that he had forgotten about when lying upon Delilah's lap. And he cried unto God and he said, "Oh God, give me strength one last time." And friend, let me tell you, the roof fell down. And prison strengthened him. I believe what happened in prison, not only was he strengthened physically, but I believe in prison he was strengthened spiritually. He got back to God. Now he lost his eyes and even lost his life. But he longed for the glory of God once again and the destruction of the enemies of God. You can go on over, friend, the scriptures. You can go to the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, you have another child of God going through adversity. You find John, he's on the Isle of Patmos, the beloved disciple. He's exiled there. He's been in persecution there. He's imprisoned there. But thank God, amidst that imprisonment, it did not break him. It was there that he heard the voice of the Lord. And he turned around and he saw a vision. He saw a picture, indeed a wonderful revelation of the Lord. Revelation chapter 1. It was the Lord that was there in the midst of his suffering. The Bible says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then it says this, verse 12, chapter 1 of Revelation, I turned to see the voices speak with me. And he said, being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. And he said this in verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I want to tell you this. The Isle of Patmos didn't destroy God's child. Thank God he was strengthened there. The Lord visited him there. You read the life of the Apostle Paul. Friend, not only in midst of adversity did he get strength from the Lord, but through his adversity, read it in Philippians chapter 1, in the verses 12 to 14, it also emboldened the people of God. They got strength through God's servant getting strength. So we find here that God prospers Joseph. You know, the prison keeper wasn't an old sentimental softy. And when he got his post, he was the very opposite. But I want to tell you this, God's purposes always prevail. God's purpose. There's a little word there in the book of Proverbs chapter 19. In the verse 21, it says this. It says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. God will have his way, friend. And thank God, God is going to have his way in the circumstances of Joseph. And Joseph remained faithful. And therefore, he was assured of God's blessing. He was assured of God's favor. You know, as I watched Joseph going down into that old dungeon, you could say there's something wrong here. Surely this is wrong, preacher. Surely these are downward steps into the dungeon. I want to tell you, friend, these weren't downward steps. These were upward and onward steps. Because God was in them. God was in them. And little as much when God is in it. And little did Joseph know that in the midst of all of this, that God was working his deliverance. And not only his deliverance, God was working his exaltation in the land of Egypt to make him next to the king. Isn't that amazing? But how's God going to do it? How is God going to work this out at the very time whenever it looked bleakest, whenever it looked darkest? God was working, friend. God's still working. And maybe the devil paints to you in your situation that, my, the situation's so dark, and you say, there's no way out of this. And the devil says there is no future and there is nothing for you, friend. You remember this, the devil's a liar. That's what Jesus called him. The devil's a liar. And thank God, God's still working on me. The very stars in the heavens move in their orbit to work out God's will. And God's will shall be done. For the purpose of God, it shall stand. Now, how God's doing it? Two men come into his life. Two men come into the story. Now, friend, it was just another day. Here was Joseph, and he was given by this, because this old keeper of the prison, he saw there was something different. Why did he see it? Because the Bible says that the Lord not only was with Joseph, but he showed him mercy. And God gave him favor. This was of God. God gave him favor in the very eyes of this old, rough jailer.
And then he gave him a position of looking after others. And then one day, just like every other day, this is what it says, verse 1, chapter 40, it came to pass. It came to pass. Yes, all that God wills, friend, will come to pass. It will come to pass. Don't you worry. God says, trust me. It came to pass. Now, let me tell you, my friend, it is true, lest we be carried away here. At the start of chapter 40, Joseph's in prison. At the end of chapter 40, Joseph's still in prison. He's still there. And yet all of that time, not known to Joseph, God's working. You see, you and I, whenever we think of the story of Joseph, you and I have read the story, haven't we? We know how it all ended, don't we? You say, oh, well, you see, God's working here. He sent these men. Listen, Joseph didn't see the end of the story. He's living it. He's living the story. All he could see was the present moment. All he could do was take it a step at a time. But I believe there was something in Joseph's heart that he knew that God was going to bring him through. And I'll explain why later on. You see, he had no idea of how the story was going to unfold. But what he was going to do was this. He was going to do his best. He was content to do his best where he was and patiently wait for God. And friend, maybe that's what you're doing this morning. You're just waiting. And let's be honest. A lot of our lives are waiting for things. But it's a hard discipline in the life of a Christian, waiting. Wearsby said, God permitted Joseph to be treated unjustly, put into prison, to help build his character and prepare him for the task that lay ahead. And then he said this, the prison would be a school where Joseph would learn to wait on the Lord. And he would have to learn, listen to this, he would have to learn that God's delays are not God's denials. God's delays are not God's denials. It has been said, you believed God in the light of the day. Will you still believe him at midnight? When it's dark? You see, friend, it is still good and it's still worth repeating from this book that God is good and his mercies endureth forever. You have a problem waiting today? That's a hard thing, waiting perhaps for examination results, waiting to be accepted to college, waiting to be offered a job, waiting for your loved ones to come to Christ, waiting to find out what God wants you to do next, waiting for someone to buy your house, waiting for your prayers to be answered, waiting for your loved ones to be saved, waiting. Friend, that's a hard discipline, but it can be fruitful. So what do we do while we're waiting? I'll tell you what to do. What Joseph did, he continued to be faithful. He was faithful where he was. In other words, my friend, just because Joseph had to wait on God and because Joseph longed, yes, for deliverance, he knew he was in prison, but he had not done wrong. This was hard. This was difficult to understand. But I want to tell you, my friend, he didn't sit down and say, well, I'm not doing anything until God opens those prison doors. No, friend, he did not live like that. He had duties to perform in the meantime, and he performed them faithfully, both unto God and unto men. Because Ecclesiastes 9:10 says this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And he had ordinary responsibilities to fulfill, and there was work to be done. and he didn't leave it undone. There was a work that Joseph had to do. He had been promoted because he had been faithful. And now God sends two men into his life. But there were just two other men. And little did Joseph know what God was doing that day. And very quickly, I want you to notice the description of the persons here. Because the Bible says there was the chief of the butlers, or the butler of the king, and the baker of the king. One was the king's cupbearer. Do you remember Nehemiah? He was the king's cupbearer. And here was the chief butler of the king. Now, the chief butler of the king of England in past days was an honorary position that was bestowed upon a person who wasn't a servant, friend. This wasn't a servant. Because in actual fact, the person who had been the king's butler would have been a nobleman. A nobleman who was close to the king. In other words, he was a person of noble high station in the land. The baker was the same. He was the one that had been trusted to be in charge of the king's food. In studying this, I'm told that the titles could be held in reference to the role they played in ceremonies, including the worship of the Egyptian god Horus. They would bear the wine and carry the ceremonial bread to be used in such ceremonies. But whatever happened here, they offended the king. And because of this, the king was wroth with them. And they were put into the ward here, it says in verse number 3, and he put them in ward, that means in custody. They were put into custody in the house of Potiphar, into the prison house, where Joseph was in charge and had the responsibility, it said here. He put him in ward of the house of the captain of the guards into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guards charged Joseph with them, and he served them. Now, he was given a special position in prison, friend, but he had a position of serving. Serving. Child of God, never forget just who you are. Because as a Christian, you're serving God. And as a Christian serving God, friend, then you serve others for him. I've heard people say, do you think I'm your servant? People don't like that idea, the servant. But children of God, that's exactly who you are. You're a servant of the king. You're a servant of the Lord. And here we find that Joseph is the servant. And it says here, he served them. That's what he did. There was his responsibilities that had been given to him. And so therefore, he fulfills his duties. Now, not only do we see the descriptions of the prisoner, the persons, but we see the dreams of the prisoners. One night, sometime after that they were in prison, we find that the butler and the baker, they dreamed. As they lay bound, they were waiting for punishment. The interesting thing, friend, the dreams that they had special reference to them. The butler, his dream was about his butlership. The baker, his dream was about baking. And so therefore it had special reference to them. And somehow these men knew that whenever they had the dream and they woke up in the morning, friend, they knew that somehow there was a message in the dreams for them. But they didn't know what. The Bible says when Joseph came in the morning, look at verse 6, Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Whenever he came into the morning, what to do to serve them? He noticed they were sorrowful, they were dejected, that they were sad, that they were uneasy. In actual fact, the word can mean angry and irritated. In other words, the condition of their hearts and their irritation was written on their faces. There's another interpretation of those words, wherefore look ye so sadly today?
Actually, it is, wherefore are your faces evil or bad today? Joseph knew there was something written on their faces. He knew by their countenance that there was something wrong. They were irritated. They were angry. In actual fact, their faces were evil. They were disturbed. Joseph saw it. You know, Joseph was the right person there at the right time, because I can tell you this. Joseph, in his lifetime, had seen enough sorrow that he was able to sympathize with others in sorrow. And I can tell you, there's nobody can help in a time of trouble, help others, than somebody who's already been there. If you've already been there, an agony of heart, then you can minister. You can be a comfort. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 4, verse number 4. That you can comfort others with the comfort wherewith you were comforted of God. You can say to them, well, you know, God will bring you through because God brought me through. I've been there. I've been there. You know, Joseph didn't stand back and say, this is none of my business. He saw them troubled, friend, and therefore this is what he said to them. He says, wherefore look ye so sadly today? He cared enough to ask them why they were hurting. Let me ask you, have you seen people this week that are hurting? Have you cared enough to ask them, can you help? Are you just like those that walk on by? Do you remember the Good Samaritan? Yes, he stopped. But you remember the others, the priest and the Levite? They just walked on by. You see, I'm not going to be bothered. They're nothing to me. When you see somebody in trouble, friend, does it touch you? Does it bother you? Are you so busy in your life that you think, you know, well, I'm not going to waste my time on them? Here's Joseph, friend. And Joseph, when he saw these men in need, he says, wherefore look ye so sadly today? He was concerned about them. And they replied to him and said, Joseph, we had a dream. You know, I'm sure that struck a chord with Joseph straight away. A dream. A dream. You know, it's interesting. The first thing that caused trouble in Joseph's life was a coat. Never his father gave him a coat. And you know why he was in prison? Because Potiphar's wife was able to hold up a coat and accused Joseph wrongly. There's his outer garment. He left it in my hand. I was struggling with him. I was throwing him away. Here's his coat. The second thing that brought trouble in Joseph's life was dreams. And now the first thing that's mentioned when he's down there in the prison was two men have good dreams. You know, not only did their dreams trouble them, but there's another problem. Look at verse 8. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. There was the problem. And immediately Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And I'm sure at that moment, friend, Joseph's dream came flooding back. And you know, Joseph, when he dreamed that dream, do you remember what his brother said to him? Go back to chapter 37. The brothers interpreted the dream straight away. Because in chapter 37, whenever Joseph told his first dream, it says in verse 8, and his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed
reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? Reigning over them. Elevation. And then he told the second dream, and it says there in verse number 10 of chapter 37, and he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" The dreams that Joseph had was about elevation. But where was Joseph then? In a prison dungeon. And from that day, Joseph had suffered and suffered and suffered. But you know what Joseph learned? That the fulfillment was in the hands of God. Leave it with God. Leave it in the hands of God. I was reading, you know, a wee boy one day. He said, "You know, my daddy and I know everything. We just know everything." And he was boasting about this, and one of his schoolmates said to him one day, posed this problem. The wee boy thought of it, and he just said to him, "That's one from a dad." See, friend, let me tell you, what we need to do is, we need to trust God. One for him. And that's what Joseph said. Do not interpretation belong unto God? Joseph did not know how it was all going to be worked out, but Joseph believed that God would bring him to the place that dreams would be fulfilled in God's time. Yes, there would be the elevation. Yes, there would be the exaltation. Yes, God would bring him out. The dream was about being reigning over them and them bowing before them. Yes, it did happen. But in between, there were many mysterious circumstances. Let me tell you, my friend, maybe the road that you're walking this morning, those roads, those circumstances, they're mysterious. You can't see the way out and you can't see the way through. What do I do, preacher? I wait on God. I trust him. I trust him. The time's away this morning. I want to just leave this with you. Whenever Joseph said that, the chief butler told Joseph his dream. And that's the declaration of the perplexed. He said, "I had a dream." He told him about the branches that budded, that brought forth a cluster of grapes in the vine. The butler had a cup in his hand. He pressed the grapes to make the juice of the grapes into the Pharaoh's cup, and he gave the cup to Pharaoh. And Joseph said, "3 days," he said. "Yet within 3 days," verse 13, I'm trying to hurry this, "shall Pharaoh lift up thine head, restore thee unto thy place. Thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler." And then he said this, "But think on me." Think on me when it shall be well with thee. It wasn't if it will. He knew that this was sure. That within 3 days, the butler would be put back into the position that he had of trust. And he says, "But think on me. Remember me." You know, I can hear that old butler saying to him, "Oh, sure, I sure will. I sure will. Oh, I'll not forget you. I'll not forget you. You can depend on me." Just read the last verse. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. And maybe this morning you say to me, preacher, you know, I've been there so many times because I've trusted people. I've trusted people when my back's against the wall. I've trusted people when there's nowhere else to turn to say, I trust them. And they promised to help me. But they let me down. And maybe you're feeling that today. Maybe you're sore about that today. I read a statement this week, with this I close. Do you remember what Joseph said? He says, I want you to remember me. Remember what I've done for you. Remember me. And he said this, men too often write the record of grudges in marble, but they write the record of favors in water. And I can tell you there's a lot of truth in that. Because the water just takes it away. Forget it. But boy, they have the grudges in big print and marble. And every day it eats away at them. Never forget it. But think on me. I want to say this. Thank God Jesus never fails. And maybe it is true people have let you down, and the best of men are men at best. But thank God Jesus will never let his people down. He is not a disappointment. And he never let them go. For underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. Trust him. Dear sinner, trust him. He's the only one that can save you. May you trust him now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, write thy word upon the hearts of everyone that's gathered here. Help us, our God and Heavenly Father, even though we cannot understand. Help us, our God, to just go without a murmur and his footsteps follow still. Help us, our God, our Father, to be faithful. Keep on going, carrying out the duties that are given to our hands. For thou art working all things together for good when we love the Lord. Bless thy word in Jesus' name.